You know why we don't count much? What do we count? Yam. No man harvests more than 50,000 tubers of yam. It shows the mentality of the men. It's sin. I told you before, it's sin. It's iniquity. It's Noah. It's all this cause of harm and all of that that cause all the problem. And I'm a preacher of the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. And that's why I don't want you to be excited over 10,000. Be thankful. Are you getting what I'm saying? But don't look at it as if I have not arrived. The Bible calls the prosperity of fools. That's what the Bible calls the prosperity of a fool. Once he attains something that he has never seen before, he's excited. Not knowing that anything that's done in his life, like Miles Monroe, is not a potential. Miles Monroe said anything that has been done in your life is no longer a potential. It's that which has been done. And your potential is big. That when they call God omnipotent, it means whatever he has done in your life has not even come near explaining what he can do. That's what sin does to people. It doesn't let them count. The ability to count in great numbers is divinely inspired. When you see men inventing words like billion, trillion, they open the name. They even put zillion. That zillion is when you count the 00 100 times. That's the 000. So that becomes 300 zeros. It's the ability to imagine. That was what God sold into Abraham. He said, look at the stars, can you number them? God said, Abraham said, not yet. He said, good, your descendants should start inventing numbers for them. Oh God, there are things in the scriptures. I don't want to sidetrack you. I will have told you that the stars Abraham saw, I have seen some of them. Fly over Dubai at night. Those are the stars Abraham saw. Fly over Paris at night. Those are the stars. He didn't get around looking up like this. God took the man up somewhere. The guy looked around. When he saw the development that his descendants would bring to the earth, he said, what do you want? He said, kill Isaac. He said, do you want five of him? What am I saying? Sin does not allow us to see. Once God removes something from your life, evil from your life, the first thing that your vision expands. Once Lot departed from him, God said, Abraham, come, look up. Once Lot is still hanging around, you can't see anything. So when they say look up, what they see is 160 watt bulb in their room. Nothing more than that. Why? Because of iniquity. So they start saying that I'm a humble man. Humble, humility of sin and iniquity. I'm a humble man. All I want is enough money for my children to go to school, to build a house, and be able to change my car every 16 years. Yeah, what more is a man looking for? You know a man whose sin has removed his ability to see. No truly righteous man talks like that. No truly righteous person talks like that. Because if you have visions, you won't talk like that. You say, there's no power in Nigeria. How can you talk like that? When they say our roads are not good, you can't talk like that. When you see the amount of people that can't have quality education, you can't talk like that. When you see that a lot of people say, look, Nigeria is a place where majority of people don't own their own homes. You can't talk like that. It's sin that blinds you, start talking. All I want is just enough to pay my children's school fees. You know a man who his father has sinned, he is still sinning. There are two kinds of sin. There's a sin of active commission. There's a sin of ignorance. They tell you the truth, you don't want to hear it. That's what sin does. What am I saying? But what does God really judge? What does he record? He said, I gave you an assignment before you were born. Then I record how much you performed the assignment. Then I compare the two in the day of judgment. I don't have time to be talking about who sinned and who did not sin. How I know the man that sinned is that he won't do anything. Jesus said the servant that he put in charge of a household, he could not do what he was asked to do because he was busy oppressing the other servants. Preoccupation with iniquity is why you will never discover the will of God or do it. I hope you are following what I'm saying. When you bear this in mind, you just go around jumping around and say, I'm doing the work of God. The first work of God, I told you, is inside your heart. Because without it, you can't see clearly. Please, if you, a lot of us, I can see, we're not around during our, when we're talking about the fruitful life, the MP3 CDs, I think they're out there. Pick the CD, please, I'm begging you. The fruitful life. I talked about how Christians get results. This ability to see. Let me just give you a tip as an example of the things I said in there. I explained that David did not kill Goliath because he just felt happy and he just hoped that thunder will strike and Goliath will fall. David knew how he was going to kill Goliath. His faith, now I need to say this to you so that you understand. The faith of David The face of David was not God. Hey, Goliath shall fall. Everybody speak against Goliath. Goliath, Holy Ghost, fire. Oh, the blood of Jesus is against you. The Lord Jesus is against you. Goliath, you are coming down. This Goliath I see today, I shall see no more. You are standing right now, you shall fall tomorrow. All those kind of confessions is a confession of a man in unbelief, trying to convince himself he has faith. You know how David killed Goliath? He looked at Goliath and instantly he knew how he would take the guy down. So he turned around and said, what are you going to give me if I take him down? He looked at Goliath. The moment he saw the man, look, this was what faith did. It gave him the vision. The man suddenly saw, this young man saw how Goliath was going to come down. He turned around and asked, what is going to be given to, why should I kill him for nothing? What is going to be given to the man who will bring this guy down? And they said, his father's house shall not pay taxes. He will give him this amount. He will marry the king's daughter. David said, that's not bad. That's a shortcut to royalty. Let's see. All right. What am I now? Let me not go into detail about that. All right. The same way you brought Goliath, David brought Goliath down. There's a Goliath standing against your business. There's a big project in your heart that God wants you to develop for a nation like Nigeria. Or let's even start from your state. Or start from your school. Or your local government somewhere. This is what God does for you. Alright? When your heart has been purified. He gives you a vision of what to do. Everybody else will say that it's not possible. But you are not saying, you know, there's this kind of, my God can do it, my God can do it, my God can do it. Christians say, which does not mean anything. When most people say that my God can do it, what they are saying is, I don't know what to do. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Let's just be trusting God. That means we don't know what we're going to do. It's a good confession to make when you are that confused. You just continue to say it. But don't take any step until that confession is no longer necessary. Do you hear what I said? By the time you start taking steps, you know what to do. God will have given you a revelation of what to do. I said in that series, I said faith is not foolishness. If what you are doing as a step of faith is foolish to you, believe me, it indeed is a foolish step. The man of faith, his steps are not foolish to him. It is those of us who are watching from outside that look at them as foolish. If what you are doing appears foolish to you, it's foolish. What am I saying? Purification of sin opens your eyes. God will be able to show you what you are supposed to do so that by the time you are taking steps, you are taking them with conviction. You're not doubting what you are trying to do. Then God will arrange. You know, all those people say that you don't know this can go wrong, this can go wrong. God will now go and ensure they don't go wrong. That's what he will now do for you. What do I mean? So when David took his sling and aimed the man, normally he doesn't miss. And God ensured that that day he did not miss. All the breeze that will have blown and moved the breeze out, moved the stone out of trajectory. Angels held it back. Said, don't blow yet. Somebody wants to kill somebody. I just wanted to go to that side. That's what sin is. But how does God judge? God says, the assignment I put in your hand, have you allowed long throat to prevent you from fulfilling it? They have used big salary to entice you away from where destiny lies for you. They have given you a visa now. You have not disappeared from the call I have because people say that in Nigeria you are not doing well. All you are doing is teaching in secondary school. How can you, at this age, be teaching in secondary school? And the same people open their stupid mouths tomorrow and say, educational system is not good. It's not good. Then they'll look at the righteous man and say, how can you, at this age, be teaching in secondary school? Then they'll turn tomorrow and say, these schools are not good. They are not good. They are not good. Then they turn to a good man and say, how can you be working in a school? Ah! God say, what do you want me to do? I'll shoot somebody. Oh. These are politicians, are useless. They are useless, they are useless. Then the brother said, I want to enter politics. Don't, oh, it's dirty. God said, what to this kind of people? What can I do for them? What can I do for them now? Believe me, have the courage to be a politician. I don't have time to discuss that in details. You will take down Goliath. Did you hear what I said? You will take down Goliath. What did I say? Say, I will take down Goliath. Just wait. Enter. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. There are people that when they get to heaven, God will say, hey, judgment day, sit down. Give him a chair. Give me the book. Read the first line. He shall be a local government counselor. What are you doing, counselor? Ah, I said, okay, let me tell you what happened. Nigeria, hey, that country had one of my neighbors, he tried to enter politics. Do you know they kidnapped his father? Now I look and say, oh, but why take the risk? Now I look for a job. In one telecom company, just opened. I was their best salesperson. Read the next line. They will read and say, the final one said, I was meant to be the president between this year and this year if he had followed our counsel. You say, read that again. Are you serious? So at the end of the day, what do you do? He said, throw him, go and read the joiner. Go and read the joiner's book. He said, find him a house at the back where he can hardly see the throne without binoculars. No, go and read the joiner. You understand what I'm saying? Some people, when in the congregation before the throne of God, they are at the back to see, and you will get to get Hubble Space Telescope to see where God is in front. Why? Because somebody lied to him that politics is dead. He said, I don't have money. God said, did I say you should go and look for money? I said, just take card. INEC said, you don't have to be a member of party to join this particular, contest for this office. Just go there. Say, good morning. Give me a card. That's all I said you should do. And start campaigning. He said, but I didn't have money to print posters. I said, campaigning and poster is not the same thing. Just stop one, enter one of these Coast City buses. Say, anybody from Kano West here? Today, Saturday, please vote for me because the Lord has sent me to come and deliberate you. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to be a good counselor for you. You know what? The worst that will happen? You will lose. That is the worst. You won't die. And you'll even tell stories later. I say, brethren, do you know there was a time I contested for that office and all God wanted is just contest. Once you contest, I file it. Once you contest, I do what? I file it. And then, one day somebody will pick up the story and say, there was one young man. You don't know that. This is just by the way. You think Charles Ludo went to go and join PDP? PDP came to join him. The Lord is good. What am I trying to explain? The work of God for you is not necessarily spiritual. It is to be faithful in that which he committed into your hands. We read from that Romans chapter 12. He said, God has given each one of us a grace. That is something that we do confidently. Let me just say this so I can begin to close. If you have to choose what to do, so-called for God, you know, either in church or outside, you know where you look for, what you look for to do. Look for that you have grace to do. I said something when I was starting. That God doesn't ask for things he did not give. Did you hear what I said? God, listen, does not ask for gifts he did not place inside you. Therefore, if you know what God wants from you, you ask yourself, what has he placed inside me? I need to say this again. A lot of people are confused thinking that the title pastor is more spiritual than the title engineer. Are you getting what I'm saying? If he has not given you the gift to interpret and decode and expound the scriptures, don't consider it promotion that they gave you that title. Did you hear what I said? There are three things I said in that book that God is doing in your life. One, he's doing a work in you. We have discussed that. And I said, number two, he's doing a work through you in the body of Christ. And number three, he's doing a work through you in the world. Listen to me. The work he's doing through you in the world is just as important in the day of judgment as the one he's doing you in the body, through you in the body of Christ. There's a mistake I think a lot of us had, we used to make. And I discuss in the book, please read the book, How to Work for God, please, I'm begging you, all right? The reason being that, like I said, what I preach in these 3 days, which I'm ending in about 10 minutes, all right, is not up to, I said one-fifth, let me cut it down to one-quarter of what I have in the book. For example, I didn't talk about praying as a work for God. I'm not talking about it at all. I've hardly talked about the principles of giving as working for God. Although I mentioned that briefly, all right? Just briefly. I talked about all of that in the book, all right? Now, in the day of judgment, the so-called church, and that's what God is doing to you in the church, and the one is doing to you outside, is just, they are just as important. I talked about, I was going to explain something about the mistake we make, right? Can you remember that? What's the mistake we make? Most of us don't want to preach. We have one mode of preaching, which is preaching as an evangelist. You go and hire a megaphone. If I say some of these things, of course, now, these days, my wife thinks I'm really, me and Tony Bakari, we sound alike to her now, you know, very radically different from everybody. We carry a megaphone. Praise the Lord. I want you to know that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. This is at 4:30 a.m. in the residential area. They should send you to jail. You think because you are a preacher now, you can interrupt our sleep and we should be grateful. Mama used to park like that in front of my house where I used to stay. Around 4:30 in the morning, he would tune his loudspeaker on top of his car and start giving one dry and dull message that's guaranteed to turn you off if you're not a believer. And I said, but God has converted some people like that. I told you before, even donkey back, Balaam might be converted. Doesn't mean we're going to hire a team of donkeys for our evangelism. So all of you, don't give me one example. That's not the usual example. You wake everybody up in the morning. Because you must be Rehan Bonnke. You're not Rehan Bonnke. We don't want to listen to you. Go away. That is good. What am I going to explain? All of us want to be Rehan Bonnke. Meanwhile, it's not necessary. I have discovered from experience, all right, that it's not necessary. Please read that book. I told the story of Demon Shakarin and get his book and read his book also. What's the name of the book? The Happiest People on Earth. Demon Shakarin used to do a lot of work, but you know one of the places where he used to really, really minister for God was as a dairy farmer. Do you know that God... Let's read this scripture quickly. Open to the book of Psalms, chapter 50. Let me read this one. I've taught from it several times before. If you have our series, there's a series I did then on, what do you call it? Thanksgiving, something like that. I can't even remember now. I have different... and something on experiencing the power of God. I did a series then, and I explained this thing there, Psalm 50. If you read from verse 7, I'm closing in less than 10 minutes, please. Let me just hurry. He said, hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I do not reprove you for your sacrifices, and your burnt offerings are continually before me. God was saying that I'm not angry that I have not been getting your money. I'm not angry that you have not been bringing the animal sacrifices. That's what he was saying. He said, I shall take no young bulls out of your house, nor male goats out of your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. He said, I know every bird of the mountains, and everything that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine, and all it contains. He said, shall I drink the flesh of bulls? Shall I eat the flesh of bulls? Or drink the blood of male goats? The answer is no, that's not what I'm desiring. What do I desire? Verse 14. I want you to offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. If you notice at the beginning, God said, I'm not angry because I'm not getting sacrifices. So it's not a sacrifice that's the issue. It's a kind of sacrifice. He said, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble, I shall rescue you and you will honor me. There's a reason why I read this. I want to explain the principle. What God was saying he was lacking here was the demonstration of his power in the lives of people. When he talked about the sacrifice of thanksgiving, he said, I have not done anything for you in recent times for which you will say thank you. I don't know whether I get the point. That is, you have prospered. So you know people so much, when you have troubles, you call those that you know. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. You are so rich, anything you need, you spend money. Therefore, you never have a cause to come to church and say, praise the Lord.